The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel is written to us by Luke. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say this, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us. And do not subject us to any final test." And then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. For a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him.' And he says in reply from within, 'Don't bother me. The door is locked. My children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything.' I tell you, if he does not get up to give the visitor the loaves because of friendship, he will at least get up to give him whatever he needs if he persists. And I tell you, therefore, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks does receive. The one who seeks does find. And to the one who knocks, the door is always opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake if he asked for a fish, or hand him a scorpion if he asked for an egg? If you who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is good news from the Lord. Well, what we say in the readings today is what I'd have to call an evolution of consciousness or thought about the very meaning of prayer. If we look at Abraham's bargaining with God in the book of Genesis, we have a sort of strange image of God who needs to be talked into things and bargained with, and he still is rather vengeful. He's going to destroy the whole city. There's no evidence in Jesus that God destroys people that he doesn't love. So this is an important way to understand Scripture, that there is a maturing of thought. And for those of us who are Christians, we would say the maturest understanding of those Jewish Scriptures comes through Jesus. And I think that's a pretty good bet. Because what we're going to see is Jesus consistently ignores, denies, or even rejects passages in his own scripture that are punitive or punishing, that are tribalistic, "we're better than you," or imperialistic, that try to seek control of non-Jews. None of that does he ever support. So Jesus was no fundamentalist. He selectively chose what was the honest and evolved tradition and what was merely low-level awareness of God. And that's what we see in this first reading. We all feel happy that Abraham bargained him down to 10, but we still have a God who punishes or destroys people who don't agree with him. There's no evidence of that in Jesus. Destroying people, because we still have an angry God. And if God is angry even at 10, or not angry because of 10, then we still have a lot of reasons to be afraid of God. So with that, we jump to the gospel and see a much more enlightened awareness. First of all, he says that they should call God Father. An endearment, someone we can trust and be loved by. "You will take care of us and give us our daily bread. You will forgive us our mistakes And the only prerequisite for forgiveness is as you have forgiven other people. Did you ever notice that? That's the only prerequisite. If you're not a forgiving person, you have no right to expect the forgiveness of God. So what goes around comes around. Huh? If you know how to pass on mercy and grace, then the channel is open. And God, through that same channel, can communicate mercy and grace to you. Then he tells a story that, again, it seems to me shows a God who is can be talked into things, and that's probably the connection. And the point seems to be that if you stay with it, you will be heard. And maybe the staying with it is convincing yourself, not convincing God, that you really need it, that you really want it, that you really desire it. And he says, maybe because of persistence, the man will wake up in the middle of the night. I guess the man is the image of God, but I don't think God is sleeping. It's like all stories, they're partially true and partially not so helpful. But what is helpful is the final passage, where he says that anyone who stays in there, anyone who keeps their deepest level of desiring and seeking and knocking, they will get there. Because the seeking is the finding. The seeking is the opening of the heart and the mind. Anything that you stay with long enough changes you. It's not about changing God, it's about changing you, the receiver station. And it takes us all a while to open up, to know what we really need, what we really want. God is already there. It takes us a while to get there. The giveaway is in the final line, that he tells us to keep praying, to keep knocking and seeking and desiring. But then he gives what is at first maybe a strange answer. That he says the answer to every prayer, no matter what you pray for, is from God's side always the same. Can you imagine if you, wicked as you are, and saying again, God's love is always better than ours, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, I'm going to always give the best gift. And I will always give that best gift, which is the Holy Spirit. The answer to every prayer is not necessarily giving you exactly what you prayed for, but in fact, the Holy Spirit, which is better than anything you can pray for, because it will expand your mind and heart. It'll expand what you really need and help you distinguish between wants and needs. And what you really need is very often not what you first of all want, but what you need, what I need, what we all need, is always and forever the Holy Spirit.